Okay. We begin beginning Bava Basra. So we read the Mishnah, but I'm going to read again with a few more comments. Hashurfin shiratzu lasos machitza b'chatzir, bomer sakos al v'emtza. So the shutfim, the Gemara is going to have two interpretations. So what does it mean? So shutfim shiratzu lasos machitza b'chatzir. What is a machitza? What exactly have they agreed to? What is the common denominator to both of these interpretations is that in order for the second half of the sentence to be true, that they have to build bonin esakosa ba'emtza, which means bonin esakosa means one party can force the other to build. That's the chiddush. If two people get along, make an agreement for the most part in halacha. So if two people agree to something in dinei mamonos, it's really not a problem. There are very few exceptions to that rule. Perhaps the only categorical exception to the rule is hilchos ribis. And hilchos ribis, even though both parties agree, so it's prohibited to take interest, it's prohibited to give interest. That's why hilchos ribis is not in choshen mishpat, but rather it's in yeridea, because it's iser v'heter. Amongst other things that are come close but are not quite the same thing, and they do manage to be in choshen mishpat, would be, number one, the issue of Yerusha. Yerusha is dinei mamonos, but you really can't party. You can't, in a certain sense, you don't have parties that agree with one another. When a person inherits from their parent who passes away, it's not an agreement between the parent and the child that the child will be yorish. That's subject to modification of the rules. As a comment the Gemara has in Perek Yesh Nochalin, I believe, about this particular issue as to why a father, or a mother for that matter, but it's typically a father, cannot reassign Yerusha to another child or to another person. Now, there's a person who says, I want so-and-so to yarshin me. That's very nice. Have a good life, rest of your life, and have a good olam haba. But when you die, your assets go the way the Torah describes your assets go, whatever the distribution of Yerusha is. So, but leaving aside, you know, that example, maybe Shemitah Sukhsafim, but not exactly either. For the most part, all the dinei mamonos are subject to modification between the two parties. So the fact that the Mishnah says that bonin is hakosav emtza means one party, once shnayim shiratzu, ashutfin shiratzu lashes mechitza, so then it's possible for one to force the other to build a kosa on the middle. So for the moment, let's just take the Gemara's first interpretation, because that's the easier one to read in the Mishnah, but the one that's not going to be accepted ultimately, which is that mechitza means a wall. Two parties agreed to build a wall. Here the Gemara is also, even though I'm spilling the beans, also is going to engage in this issue in Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. If you got there, I ask you a very simple question. You know, Eli, I'll go with you to the Mets game tonight. I agree to go with you. Nebuch, okay, whatever. So I agree to go to the Mets game. And then after lunch, I change my mind. So you said, but you said to me, I said, I would go to the Mets game. It's very nice. But will Beis Din force me to go to the Mets game? The answer is no, because on what basis? The fact that I said something doesn't make it binding. I didn't take a neder. I didn't take a shvua. And even if I did, you don't have standing to sue me. Beis Din might force me to do that. So when it comes to a mamonos issue as well, I said, you know what? We have a joint backyard, my neighbor and I, and we agreed to build a fence. And now I turn and say, I agreed to build a fence. I lied. I don't want to do it anymore. I changed my mind. What binds me to build a fence? It's not a neder. It's not a shvua. If I said, let's build a fence together, and you went out to Home Depot and you bought the wood for the fence, or you bought stone and some bricks for the fence, so now, and you can't return them to the store, so now you can say to me, I undertook an action on our behalf. I was effectively your shaliach, a joint project. But if that didn't happen, we were just, you know, sitting around sipping lemonade in the backyard, and we agreed to build a fence, and I changed my mind. What makes it binding from a halachic perspective? Why would Beis Din ever force me to do it? So the Gemara is going to talk about this question. It's a larger question we call Kinyan Dvarim. Generally speaking, words, with the exception of Hekdesh, do not create any kind of change from a monetary perspective. The Mishnah Kiddushin says that after talking, but those of you might have learned the first parak of Kiddushin at one point or another, I don't mean the last part that they do in, you know, elementary school, you know, from the Mishnah Dachav Tes onwards. I mean the meat of the first parak, not that Kibud Avim is incredibly important, it's an incredibly important sugyas, but I mean the classic Lumdus, which is the first part of the parak, and especially the last part of the first part of the parak, which are the Kinyanim. So in that area, the Mishnah says that amirasi legavoa kimisirasi lehedyo, that when it comes to hekdesh, when I say something, that's binding. But for hedyo, as a general rule, with only a few exceptions, in order for something to be binding, there has to be a kinyan. So when I say, oh, Elimelech, let's build a wall, that's very nice, but what was a kona? The wall doesn't exist. The wall is a concept. So the Gemara will talk about that question. What binds, even if the two agree to do something, what exactly makes it binding, that we will force both parties, even if one doesn't want to do it, to do so. So now the Mishnah says, Bonim Sakosu Ba'emza, Malkam Shinagu Livnos Kavil, Gazis Kvis and Levenim, Bonim Hakol Kaminak Hamedina. So the Mishnah says that it concludes by saying Hakol Kaminak Hamedina, that you follow whatever the standard practice is. Most Rishonim assume standard practice means is you don't look at, you go around New York City and where they build walls, there's probably building codes or even standard practices even beyond building codes. How do you build walls when you build a house, when you build an apartment building? Here, we don't just say you look at the Kosle Ha'ir, you look at Kosle Chatzer. When people build partition walls in Chatzeris, between what do people typically build of? Do they make it out of wood? Do they make it out of stone? Do they make it out of brick? So the Mishnah says a place where the mina is to build gavil, gazes, kvisin, or levain, and the Gemara will talk about what each of these are, so then we follow that minog. Hakol kaminag medina. The question the Rishonim will ask, of course, is, hakol kaminag medina, why do you have to list these different things? Hakol kaminag medina. You know, if you live in, I noticed yesterday, we have a remarkably diverse group. Of the 13 people who were registered as of yesterday, undergraduate, you lived in 10 different states. That's pretty wild. So you go around to Maryland, Rhode Island, you know, Ohio, Illinois, Michigan. Do we have a Michigan here? Yes, we do have Michigan. Yes, I think we have Michigan. Brooklyn, that's another country. Manhattan, it's own different. You know, go around and 5 pounds, that's a different planet. I'm just kidding. And so you go around and look, what is the minhag? So why doesn't Mishnah have to say Gvil, Gazis, Kvis, and Levenim? And I apologize, I left that Pennsylvania. If I left that in Massachusetts, okay, I apologize, but okay. So why does the Mishnah have to list those things? So some Rishonim say it doesn't matter what the building materials are. The Gemara will talk about, I make a comment called Minhag Medina. But Rabbeinu Tam, in his own way, there is another machlokus. The Mishnah is going to list Georgia. Okay. And Virginia. Okay. Did I miss anybody? The Mishnah is going to list Shiurim. How wide is each one? Now, most Rishonim are going to say Hakol Kaminag Medina only goes on the building materials. Once you have a building material that's the Minhag, the Shiurim are zoning codes. You don't get to change that. You know, Rabbeinu Tam thinks Hakol Kaminag goes on everything. And Rabbeinu Tam says, so why does the Mishnah have to say list these things and list the Shiurim, the numbers? So Rabbeinu Tam says, because if the minhag is to build bigger, so wider, Rabbeinu Tam says that's fine. But if the minhag is to build less than these things, then that's a minhag shtus. There's a tshuva, the Balei HaTosus, that had to do with a practice in Gittin. When you write a get, the Gemara says that when you write the name of the husband and the wife, you say Ploni ben Ploni, and then the Gemara says V'chol Shma de Iskri, or V'chol Shma de Iskri, whatever name he has. So I think, if I remember correctly, this tshuva, the Balei HaTosus. So what that really means is that if I have multiple names, there's some people call me Yaakov, and some people call me Yankee, and some people call me, you know, I don't know what else they call me. So you write those all in the get. But apparently the minhag seem to have been somewhere in, I presume, France, that they would write Yaakov v'chol shema d'islay. And Rabbeinu Tam, and people were trying to defend that practice. And Rabbeinu Tam says that the osios of minhag, when you flip them around, are gehenim. Right? Not every minhag is actually a binding minhag. Shechter loves to quote this. It's not in Tosis here. It's in a tshuva, the Balei HaTosis. Rabbeinu Tam just says that some minhagim we don't follow. Most Rishonim, not leaving aside the get question, that most Rishonim do not, I think, agree with Rabbeinu Tam here. They don't agree with Rabbeinu Tam. They happen to disagree that it's not about the shear. Those are zoning codes. But they don't agree with Rabbeinu Tam. They do kind of feel like if the minhag is to do X, then that is the minhag. The only minhag that almost everybody, I think, agrees is not acceptable is going to be Lamaskanas HaGemara, that Hezek Riya Shmei Hezek, that if the minhag is to ignore it in the Chatzer, it's not a bind. There's no such thing. That's not a valid minhag to say that we don't build the walls and Chatzeris that are dividable because that's a broader principle. Minhag doesn't override that. Okay. Anyway, so the Mishnah now gives the Shiurim. And it says that Begvil Zenos and Gimel Tvachim Zema Gimel Tvachim. The Gemara will say Gvil are stones of some kind. And Gozis is, we would normally translate as hewn stone, stone that was cut. And that Zenos and Tvachim Umechza, Zenos and Tvachim Umechza. Bekvisim, which normally actually means in Tanakh, there's one place the word appears, I think in like Tzfanya or something like that, speaking about the injustice of the people who build their houses through iniquity, that ki even mikir tizak v'kafis me'etzi anena, that the stones of the houses that they build, and the wood the beams inside cry out and scream out the crookedness, the oppression that they use to acquire their fortunes. So there the word kafis looks like it actually means a piece of wood. So the Rishonim talk about that here apparently it's some type of a brick material. And the Gemara is going to say that kfisim are actually chatzi levenim. The normal word for that in Mishnah Hebrew is an ariach. In ariach is an alef resh yud ches is a chatzi levena. So anyway, kfisim, zenos ein tefachayim, zenos tefachayim, each gives two tefachim, belevenim, zenos ein tefachum metzav, zenos tefachum metzav. Fine. And now, the line we're not going to talk about now, but obviously we started yesterday and we'll continue Be'ezras Hashem next week. Lefikach im nafal hakosel hamakom avarim shoshtehim. Therefore, if the wall falls down, you assume that the place that it was built and the building materials themselves were, in fact, are to be divided between the two people. The reason being, we presume it was built by both of them. Why? Because if I am able to force you to contribute to half of this building, this fence in our property, I'm not going to be silly, generally speaking, and say, well, I'll just build it myself because I'm a nice guy. I'm going to say, okay, you better contribute your half and I can force you to, and therefore our assumption is that is exactly what happened. Okay. Now, the Mishnah continues. V'chein begina, makom shenagu ligdor mechayven osam. Now, notice something has shifted in the Mishnah here. Right, the first part of the Mishnah, the way I've read it until now, says, the shutfim shiratzu lasus mechitza b'chatzer, if the two parties agreed to build the chatzer, then they have to build a mechitza. Now the Mishnah says, v'chein begina, so to an agina, makom shenagu ligdor mechayven osam. So read simply, and by a garden, let's say we have a garden plot that's divided between the two of us. So a makom shenagu ligdor, we force you to build it. Now, how is that to be read, lefi pshuto? I would say lefi pshuto is the first part of the Mishnah implies that you only have to build a mechitza if the two parties agree to build a mechitza. But if they don't agree to build a mechitza, so then you don't have to. So the Mishnah says, v'chein begina, makom shenagu ligdor, then mechayven osam. But if that wasn't the minhag, you don't have to, like a chatzer. Like the Mishnah here has to be talking about a place where the minhag is not to be magdir. Aval b'bika, a bika, which is a field, is different. Makom shenagu shel ligdor, ein mechayven osam. By a bika, the minhag, only if the minhag is not to force the other parties, that is, you can't be forced into building a wall between your fields, so then, only then, are we not mechayivim. And in such a case, elim ratza, let's say you live in a place where the minog is not to build, then kones litoch shalo ubone. You basically can build a wall on your part, on your field, on your garden, in your part of the chater. And obviously you build of your own materials. V'osa chazis mi bachutz. And then you put a chazis, which obviously comes from the Aramaic root Fes Zayin Yud, or in technically inaccurate grammar Ches Zayin Hey. So you build a chazis, something that you can see. Now, what is the purpose of a chazis? Obviously, it's a simon that you built it. Understood, but. You know, you have to step back and for a second and think, what is the function of a chazis? I'm not asking this question just stum, because I'm interested in realia. It has enormous halachic ramifications. I'll formulate the question differently. Whose vision is this for? Everyone else. Nisim, is that what you said? Oh, was that someone? Shui, you're a good ventriloquist. Either that or I'm losing my hearing. So, chazis is for everyone else. Now, that's important because if it's for everyone else as opposed to you and me, Shui, because we know who built the wall. So, obviously, where does it have to be? In a place that for everybody else to see it. Which raises the possibility, if that's its purpose, that where is a chazis going to be useless? In a chatzer, because other than you and me, who sees things in a chatzer? In a bika, maybe even in a gina, the Mishnah only mentions it by bika. By a bika, it's open fields. People see. I'm walking by. They walk by a property. They see that there's a wall between, but there's this thing. Whatever a chazis is, there's a thing somewhere. The Mishnah says, mi bachutz. Right? It goes on the outside. Meaning, if I built the wall, the side of the wall that's facing your field, Shui, I do whatever a chazis is. A machlokas amorai. Right? But if that's in fact the only purpose for chazit, then it would make no sense perhaps to make it in a chatzar. Perhaps it would make no sense to make it in a chatzar. You know, generally speaking, there's a halacha that you're not allowed to lend somebody money without a shtar. Why? It could be as honest as the day is long. You're not allowed to lend somebody a shtar. Why? It's lefeiver. Because A, they could be tempted to lie and deny it, but even beyond it, they could forget. They could forget that you loaned them the money. So there's an issur to be malva mos. I don't think it means if your friend asks you to borrow $5, you know, that it's included in that. But if you're talking about something significant, you're not allowed to lend money without some type of a shtar. If the contemporary application is, ask the person to write you an email with an IOU. I borrowed X from you on this particular day. And then you pull it out. Or Edom. You can use Edom as well. But here, you know, that's by a halva. Because people do forget, especially if you... you know, engage in business on a somewhat regular basis. But when you build a wall, you generally will know who built it. You know that you refused to build a wall, or you know that you chose to participate in building the wall. So the two people on the chatzir don't need to know who built the wall. They both know who built the wall. But the outsiders, the ones who are going to see it, but people don't see it in a chatzir. So it could be that a chassis is useless in a chatzir. It would play no role, so much so that some Rishonim will go as far as to say that a chassis accomplishes nothing in a chatzir. We pay no attention to it whatsoever. Even if you built one. Okay, now, an important question that I'm not going to answer now, but I'm going to address because it's dealt with by the Rishonim. What happens in a place where you are mechayev somebody, you can be mechayev somebody, but one person says, you know what, I want to build the wall myself, I'll pay for it, I'll build it on my property right next to the line. Does the other party have the right to say no? You can't do that. I want to join the wall that's being built. We'll have to talk about that at some point. Okay. Now the Gemara Mishnah says, Lefikach, because in a bika, generally speaking, or in a case of a bika, where you can't force the other party to build a wall, Now, of course, there's something that runs throughout this entire Mishnah in the first place, which is we have to know who built it. And we do have to know who built it. In this particular case, how do we know if both of them agreed? In other words, we know that in a bika, if we're in a place where you can't be mechayev somebody to build with you, so now we see a wall there. We see a wall. So how do we know lefikach nafal that he built it by his own or he did build it on his own? So the answer is the chazis right now serves that function. The Mishnah continues. In that case, if they build it midashneim, bonus akosa bensa, ba'osin chazis mikan or mikan, lefikach nacha akosa v'amakam avanim shoshneim. Right? You're going to use the chazis. Now, of course, you can ask the obvious question, which some of you may have seen in the Gemara already, which is, if the whole purpose of the chazis is to say, this guy built it, or this guy built it, if both of them build it, what is the logical thing to do? Make no chazis. And some of you may have seen that in Ian already, is going to become part of the discussion in the Big Tosas, which we're starting in Shir Monday, we're not talking about now. Okay, so that's what the Mishnah says. Now, the crucial issue in the Mishnah, which I'm going to read the Gemara, but I'm going to tell you in advance, is there are really two deos as to what the word mechitza means. One understanding is that mechitza means a wall, which means that in order to have to build a wall in the chatzar, in order to be mechayev the other person, they both have to agree in the first place. It has to be ashut and shiratsu lasos mechitza b'chatzer, bonin es akosa b'emza. Then and only then can you force your shutaf to build a chatzer. Now, just keep in mind, as the Gemara will encounter, and it's really from Mishnayos later, all kinds of property, almost all kinds of property, can be dividable by partners. In other words, just because you're a partner with someone, being a partner with someone, being a shutaf, is a little like a marriage. And just as sometimes a marriage ends in divorce, so does a shutfus. So the question is, by marriage has one set of rules for breaking it up. How do you break up a shutas? So one of the things that really is going to be assumed in our Mishnayos is that you can only break up a shutas, meaning there are two ways to break up a shutas, by the way. What are the two ways to break up a shutas?
Mutual forced by
No, one is to divide up the assets, the other is for one party to buy the other out. And the Mishnah, that is a very important sugya later in our parak. The sugya of godo igud. You know, on what situations you can force the other party and say, listen, either you buy me out or I buy you out. You're right, you have that choice. So there are two ways to break up a shutfus, either literally to divide it or to actually have one party buy the other out. Now, the point the Mishnayos are going to really talk about only the division part, and the point that the Mishnah is going to make later in the parak is that you can only insist that your shutf divide things if there's kedei lezeh and kedei lezeh. Right? Imagine you have a dorm room. You know, I assume they haven't changed the size of the dorm rooms in Reuben. Right? And let's say the person says, I want to build a wall in the middle. I mean, maybe that would be a good thing. But the question might be, you know, there's one sink, right? Any Reuben people here? There's one sink? Right? So let's say, I want to build a wall right down the middle. Well, the guy would say, there's only one sink, though. What am I going to do? Who gets the sink? Or supposing the room were pretty small, it is pretty small, but really small, and let's say it was, you normally lived in two people with a bunk bed. But now, when you divide it up, you really, by the time you put two beds side by side and stick a wall in, you know, basically you have to, you know, climb out of your bed at the bottom of the bed or something like that. So any entity, in order to have one party to be able to force the other to divide, has to be kedei lezeh v'kedei lezeh. A chatzer is the same thing. A chatzer is used for various purposes, one of them being loading and unloading. It has other purposes depending on its size as well. So the Mishnah is going to say that a chatzer has to be big enough in order for one party to force the other to divide. So there are two kinds of chatzeres. There's a chatzer sheyesh ba din chaluka and a chatzer sheyesh ba din chaluka. A chatzer which is large enough where one party can insist that they divide it, and a chatzer that's not large enough. But even by a chatzer that's not large enough, so if both parties agree, then you can divide up that chatzer. It doesn't matter, you know, if each one has, you know, two amos by two amos, which you can just barely sort of squeeze in to get into your front door. I should have explained, by the way, a chatzer in the Talmudic period. If you haven't learned enough Mishnayos, you might, or Gemaras, you might not have encountered this. Typically, the way things were laid out in the ancient period is that you had multiple houses that would open to a common courtyard, and often that courtyard would empty, number of courtyards would empty into an alleyway. The courtyards are referred to as chatzeres. The alleyway is known as a mavoi, and the mavoi would typically exit into the Rishus Haravim. When you learn Eruv, then you deal with this all the time. Eruv chatzeres and shitufei mavoos. So anyway, if you guys want to divide up this chatzer and it's really, really tiny, you can choose to do so. The only thing the Mishnah is going to say you're not allowed to divide up, even with consent of both parties, is kisvei hakodesh. We have a sefer Tehillim, and I'm going to take from Mizmor Aleph to Mizmor Ayin Hey, and Ephraim's going to take, we're going to, you know, cut it down the middle, and I'm going to cut it out, and he gets the other half. That's a bizarre kisvei hakodesh. But outside of that, two parties want to divide up, Sunday divide it up. You have a question? No? Okay. Okay, so anyway, so the first interpretation of the Gemara is Ashutfen Shavatu Lasus Mechitza B'Chatzer Bonus Akosamensa. They have to agree to build a wall. And that implies, though, that if one of the parties doesn't agree to build a wall, you might divide up the Chatzer, but you can't force the other person to build a wall, at the expense and to provide the space. And the assumption behind that, the Gemara is going to say, is Hezek Re'ia Lo Shmei Hezek, La Shmei Hezek, that my invasion of your privacy in a semi-public area does not constitute hezek re'iyah. It's worth noting here, the Gemara is going to elide the difference between the two. There are really two kinds of hezek re'iyah. I think the Sma actually comments on this near the end of Choshen Mishpat. One kind of hezek re'iyah is an invasion of privacy. The other, which we all understand, that I think we all relate to. The other kind of hezek re'iyah is an ayin hara, which we don't necessarily intuitively relate to, because many of us tend to think ayin hara is, of course, nonsense. Evil eye. Now, the truth is, ayin hara probably is a spectrum of things, between things that we would probably regard as superstitious and things that are very real. The way you avoid an ayin hara is by being tzanua, is tzinius. And that's clearly what we're taught, what the Gemara is talking about when it comes to a bika and when it comes to a yina. You don't want, it says, also the adam lamod, you know, akam aschaber b'shash, you know, stechaber b'shash, amalei b'kamoseha. Why? Because it's an ayin hara. Because all his stuff is there, all this fully grown wheat. So what does it mean, an ayin hara? So on a rationalist level, the answer is that when people become jealous of the things that you have, what do they do next? No, they talk. They talk. They find things to say about you. They talk about all your fancy stuff. And what happens next? Well, then the unsavory characters hear all about the stuff that you have. And that's Pirtza Karalagana. That invites someone to come in and to steal, and therefore, when people don't know that you have a lot of things, it's hard for Ganavim to steal them, because as they once asked the famous bank robber, Willie Sutton, why do you rob banks? And his answer was, because that's where they keep the money. So if you don't have, people don't know that you have stuff, they're not going to try to break into your house. Or as I like to say, I don't need a burglar alarm on my house. I just put a big arrow that says, the rich people live up the block. You can see those houses, so then why would you come to my house? So bottom line is that's a different kind of ayin hara. That's the ayin hara of people see it, they mekaneh you. You could see it as a desha mayim thing also, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu gets upset, why do you do this and so on. But in this case, someone walks into your field, so that's not your fault, and by their being envious of you, what ends up happening is that, you know, people talk, and when people talk, it's not a good thing for you. So then are two very different hesekrias. One is in my wheat field, you know, when I have, you know, rows and rows and of beautiful wheat or corn growing, there's no privacy issue there. Normal people don't do private things, you know, in their cornfields or in their wheat fields. But there's an issue of actual hesed coming, as opposed to the hesed that the Mishnah is talking about right now, which is hesed re'iyah, but there's no tangible damage. But part of being a human, most human beings, unless they have destroyed a certain part of their humanity, have a certain concept of tzniyus within it. Right? We all appreciate that, certainly, for example, when it comes to issues of the bathroom. And that's why when the din, some people like to make kavod abrius into this very big din. Kavod kavod abrius, shadokha losa se shadokha. You actually look what kavod abrius is doka. The situations where the Gemara actually discusses kavod abrius in those part are issues in Shabbos and going to the bathroom and using books to clean yourself, and being disrobed in the shuk because you find kelayim. If those are things that we all share a certain sense of shame, a sense of privacy. So it's a very, very central part of our humanity. And the question is, how far do we go? How far do we take that? So if you believe that in order for me to have to build a wall, my chatzah, we have to agree to build a wall, it means that if I don't agree to build a wall, you can't force me to do so, because I'm not being honest with you, because hesek rilash mehesek. The second interpretation of the Gemara is going to happen, is that no, mechitza is not guda. Guda is the Aramaic word for wall. Mechitza is plugta. What is a plugta? Machlokes. Machlokes means a division. So the two parties agree to divide up the chatzer. Then, once you divide up the chatzer, one party can force the other to build a wall, because hezek re'iyah shmei hezek. Just a comment about, we're going to paskin that way, a comment about the structure of the Masechta. I mentioned yesterday that the end of Bava Metzia, the last parak, and these three prakim form a unit of shukras and chazakos and things of that nature, in this case, shreinim. Hezek Re'iyah is going to take up a part of this parak at the beginning, and then it's going to reappear at the end of Cheskas Abatim. When you get to around Dafno and Dalet or so, after they finish Cheskas Shaloshana, which has nothing to do with Hezek Re'iyah, that has to do with chazakos, standards of proof, the last few Mishnayos in Cheskas Abatim resume and finish the topic of Hezek Re'iyah. Some of those Mishnayos are quoted in the first sugya. It's a kind of an odd thing. I don't know why. Probably if you look at the Mishnayos, analyze it, you could probably figure out why Rabbi Danasi, why the editors broke it up the way they did. Question? No. All right. So now the Gemara says the following. Savruha. They thought to say. Now, when it says Savruha, you know what that usually means? We show them all comment here. Whenever you say Savruha, it's like whenever the Gemara says Lema Kitanoi. Whenever the Gemara says Lema Kitanoi, what is the answer to the question?
Something else.
No. The Gemara says Lema Kitanoi. Should we say that this Machlokes Amoraim maps to a Machlokes Tanoim? If the Gemara wanted to say, if it stood in the end, the Gemara usually will say Kitanoi. Now, there may be some Kitanois that get rejected, but whenever the Gemara says Lema or Nema Kitanoi, the answer is no. Otherwise, you would say, should we say? No. So Savruha usually means it's rejected. Right? Savruha. Now, it happens to be the first Lashon is going to be rejected. The second Lashon also begins with Savruha. But the Rishonim say the second Lashon uses it only because of the first Lashon. So the Tosfos also comments here, but the Gemara answered all the kashas on the first Lashon. Normally, Savruha, the Gemara will explain why it's wrong. So Tosfos says, yeah, it answered the questions about Pesach and Pesach, but they were Dohak answers. Okay, so that's what Tosfos and number of Rishonim say. They also point out there's one Gemara in the Dardim where there's a Savruha, which in fact stands Lamaskaras Asuka. I wouldn't bring any rayas from there. If I were writing Aros and Tosis, I would comment, why would I not bring any rayas from the Gemara in the Dharm? Any of you ever learned the Dharm? To be shown a point, you know, when the Gemara in the Dharm gets to a question that we don't know the answer to, you know what it says at the end of the Sugya? It doesn't say Teiku. It says Tibayit. Rishonim point out that Lashon Nedarim is Mishunah. It was probably edited in a different yeshiva. There were several Masechtas. They were edited in a different yeshiva in Babel, and you can tell in the language. So there are differences in the language and so on. So the fact that there's a Gemara Nedarim that uses Savrua, which stands the Maskana, it wouldn't necessarily be a source of comfort for our particular Gemara. Okay, so anyway, why they thought Savrua, my Mechitza, Guda, it's a wall. Kidetanya, Mechitza Sakerim Shenifritza, Omer Lo Gedor. Chazer Nifritza, Omer Lo Gedor. So the girsa that we have in our Gemara, which has been edited, is Kidetanya. Some Rishonim, there was a girsa floating around in the Tanan, I'll talk about that in a moment. But the Mishnah, the Braisa, regarding Kiloy Akerem, tells the following story. Now, firstly, here's the basic halacha. If I plant, I got a shayla like this recently, actually. I'm a student of mine. I know that sounds strange. You don't think you get Kiloy and shaylas in Chutz Laretz, but you do. Because Kiloy Akerem, so very, very brief background. There are five kinds of Kiloy. There's Kiloy Begadim, which is Shatnez. That applies in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz, not surprisingly. There's Kiloy Behema, which is, let's either Harkavas Behema, crossbreeding animals, or Lo Saharosh B'Shorah Hamayachto, which is probably related to that, and that obviously applies in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. There's a third kind of Kilayim, which is Harkavas Ha'ilon, which is grafting trees. That is prohibited in Midoraisa, even in Chutz Laretz. The Shulchan Aruch says, Beferish, you're allowed to eat the fruits of a grafted tree, and once you have a new tree, you can take a piece of that tree and plant it. But grafting trees of two different species, two different meanings, is an Issa Daraisa, even in Chutz Laretz. It's a hekesh between Harkavas Ha'ilon and Harkavas Behema. Number four is what's known as Kilai Zrayim. Kilai Zrayim is you plant two seeds of different species. You plant them too close to one another. Let's say they share yunika, they nourish, however you define that. They draw sustenance or nutrients from the same ground. Kilai Zrayim is also to plant in Eretz Yisrael. It's mutter to eat what grows, but it's also to plant. It's mutter lagamre in Chutz Laretz. And finally, you have what's known as Kiloy HaKerem. Kiloy HaKerem, the way we paskin, one of the three big kulos that Klal Yisrael adopted, the Gemara has in the third parak in Brachos, Nog Alma Kahani Tlasave, and I believe it's to Rabbi Yoshia the Kiloy HaKerem. Rabbi Yoshia says that in order to violate Kiloy HaKerem, it has to be Lo Sizra Kar Micha Kilayim. You have to plant Kilayim in the Kerem. And therefore, a grape seed with any other one seed, grain or vegetable, it's not a violation of the rights of Kilayim Karen. You have to either have two grain seeds together that are Kilayim Zebizeh, and then plant those next to the grape seed. Rabbi Yoshia's expression is, Ad sheyizra chita usa'ura v'chartzan, a grape seed, b'mapo lesya. Or two yurako seeds that are Kilayim Zebizeh, two vegetables that are Kilayim, plant those in the Karen, in order to be Kilayim Karen Daraisa. Kilayim Karen applies in Eretz Yisrael in the Raisa, it's asr to plant. Aser b'achila, aser b'hano, ken tikta shavlea azera asher tizra. Rashi points out that the lashon of harezia kidesh, it becomes aser b'hano like hepdesh. Kiloya kerem applies in chutz la'aretz midrabanan, but the Shulchan Aruch paskins in the last seat of the simon in Yeridea that deals with kiloya kerem, Sif Samach Tas, says that only the kilayim that's the rice in Eretz Yisrael is aser midrabanan in chutz la'aretz. So that's the maskan of the Ramah. So my student happened to have planted in his garden a grapevine, and a vegetable, a cucumber, and so the answer was that it was mutter to eat, mutter to do, and mutter to eat because it's only kilayim, it's only there to start on the kilayim and rabbana. Now there was another tzad kula which didn't help him, which is how much distance do you need between your kerem and your vegetables or your grains? So here it depends whether it's a kerem or whether it's not a kerem. What defines a kerem? The Mishnah in Sota says. It has to be, this is probably Kilayim. It's also in Sota, I think, because Chosre Me'erche HaNochama. When you go back, when you have an army exemption, it's Me'o Isha Sher Not HaKerem Lo Chilalo. So the definition is Shtein Keneged Shtein Ve'achas Yotzei Zanav. You have two by two, and then one extra one floating somewhere like a tail. That's the minimum Shir Kerem. If you have a single grapevine, or if you have a straight row of grapevines, doesn't constitute a kerem. If you have a kerem, you require dalet amos of space between a kerem and whatever else you plant. If you have a single grapevine, it's a standard distance of 6 tefachim, 1 amah. So in this particular case, now, if you build a wall between the areas, in this case it's two different people, so the wall constitutes a sufficient hefsek, each one can move up, build right up to the gedder. But then what happens? The wall falls down. And now you have Kilayim. So the Braisa says that if you have a mechita sakerim, which breaks, you tell Lo, and Rishonim will say you tell the Baal HaKerem, he's the one who's considered the mazik here, you tell him, fix the wall. Okay, he goes and fixes the wall. Chazer v'nifritza. You tell him, fix the wall again. Nisiyai shemen uvelo gedara, areza kidish. If he decided he wasn't going to build the wall, he gave up. So then everything becomes asur v'hana. Yes?
Why is he the responsible one? Isn't it just because we assume that him and the vine were like the aggressors, or is it because he built the wall?
So we're dealing with a Karen here, good question, and the answer is that since the Dalat Anos Arhaka is because of the Karen, the Zrayim wouldn't require Dalat Anos Arhaka.
He didn't necessarily build the wall.
It doesn't matter who built the wall, right? The bottom line is right now when we look at the situation, there's an important discussion of an issue in the second paragraph. Tosus mentions it here, which is who is the responsibility when there's Nesek happening? Who has to move away? The Nizik or the Nazik? It's a machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Chachamim. Rabbi Yossi agrees, though, even though Rabbi Yossi says normally it's al-hanizah lahachas atzmo, he's moda begire delay when it's his hours. So some Rishonim say that Rabbi Yossi would be moda here because it's the hours of Baal HaKerem. Other Rishonim say no. Actually, we actually wouldn't possibly like this Mishnah in this detail because we hold like Rabbi Yossi, and it would be the person who actually has to build the wall or move his stuff would actually be the Baal HaKerem. But the point of the only reason why the Gemara quotes this Braisa is because mechitza sakerim is a different stuff. It's obviously a wall. That's not a property, that's not a conceptual division dividing the property into two different sets of ownership. Now, the Girsan Argamar should be Kiddetan. This is not a Mishnah, which would be Kiddetan. The Rishonim talk about their, I'm not going to talk about the Tosos, but they say that the reason why they chose this Braisa, and they didn't choose the Mishnah, the Mishnais they could have chosen to demonstrate this is because this Braisa was particularly dear to them because of the halacha that it includes, which is, why am I chayev for damaging your things there? I didn't do anything, it happened on its own. This is what's known as Dina de Garme, which is a topic that I might broach this year. Dina de Garme, and how you define Dina de Garme is no simple matter, that's the whole machlokas of Rishonim, but Dina de Garme means that I don't do the damage directly. It's somewhat of a passive damage. The real issue that animates the Rishonim is what's the difference between Dina de Garme, where according to Rabbi Meir, whom we passed in like, Dina de Garme, you're chayev for it, versus what's the difference between that and grama? Grama ben izakim, the Gemara will say in the second paragraph, is potter, even though it's awesome. I'm not allowed to do damage that way. We can force you to stop, but you're not liable for any damages. So what's the difference between garme and grama? So if you want, there's a tosis in the second paragraph around ham and maize or something like that. You can look. That's a starting point. The Ramban has a whole sefer on it called Kutrastina de Garme. But for our purposes, this is certainly a case of garme. Shulchan Aruch Paskin and Choshen Mishpat and Simcha Fei. With Dainin and Dina de Garme, and therefore, since at least according to this price, the Baal HaKerem is responsible, if he decides not to go there, then he is chayav actually to pay. One of the really interesting questions that comes up, we don't have time for this, but it's just so interesting, is, I don't know if we're going to do this in Eir or not, is that there are two kinds of Kilay HaKerem, two way things that things become Asar. The Gemara in Chulin has this in Perek called Abasar, which is Hen Tikdash, Hamalaya Hazera Asher Tura, you can either asur things through zera or malaya. If you plant them together initially, once they're collate, once they take root, they're asur bahana. Let's say I already have two things and I break the wall between them. Let's take this example. So in this case, the halacha is that they don't automatically become asur. We need something called tosefes b'masayim. Josh, if you want to just pause. So if things were planted already, and now they come together, so they're not asur automatically, you need what's called tosefes b'masayim. It has to add 1/200. I think I'm going to do the sugya Ian, so I'm not going to talk about it now, but the question is, why does the Braisa say, nifritza omer lo gedor, nifritza omer lo gedor? So some Rishonim say, it's an achlokas, but many Rishonim say that if it's hosif part, you know, if the two times that the wall was broken, it was hosif and masayim, combined between the two of them, they're not mitzarif. This may sound to you like sort of an arbitrary question, but this is a major topic in Yoredeya, which is what we call chazur v'nei ora. Supposing a little bit of iser gets mixed into heter, and now it's batel, and now a little more iser falls in, and it's no longer batel by the count, are they mitzarif or are they not mitzarif? So we might do that, even though it's not a bava basa sugya, we might actually spend a couple of days on that. It's the bottom tosos. I think Rabbeinu Tam is the one who makes that comment. Okay, Anyway, so now the Gemara, so the bottom line is, as fun as this braisa is, it just proves to you that the word mechitza can mean a wall, which I know to most of us is like, well, yeah, I think we do that. Now the Gemara says, okay, the taima, the ratzu, on the second line of Beis of the Beis, but hold the ratzu, ein mechayven oso. If the two parties don't agree to build the wall, you can't force them. Alma hezek ria, lashme hezek, because if hezek ria were really considered by halacha as considered damaging other property, we can force you to be mesalik and hezek. So we can force you to contribute by building half of a wall. So now the Gemara says, ah, but the ema, my mechitza plota. Maybe the word mechitza means a division, not a wall, not a divider. We agree to divide the chatzet. Kidichsid, vatehi mechetzas ho'edah. I could be wrong. I don't think the word mechitza is a biblical Hebrew word. But this is not the exact same word. So I don't think it appears anywhere in Tanakh. The biblical Hebrew word for a wall is either a kosel, I think kosel is there, or a gader, or a choma, but I don't think the word mechitza. I think that's a rabbinic Hebrew word. But here you have atahi mechetza so'edam enatzom, which means the half that belongs to the community of the spoils of Midian. So you see mechitza can simply be a division, not actually a wall. V'cheban deratzu, and once they agree to divide it up, bonen esach kosel bal karcho, then you can force the other party to build the wall. Ame hezek ria, shmei hezek. So why don't you interpret that way, says the Gemara. So the Gemara, at least for now, says, Ihachi hai sheratzu lasus mechitza, sheratzu lachatzos libaile. They wanted to divide, not to make a mechitza. Now the truth is, l'hi pshutan shalvarim, even though the Yerushalmi would appear also to read the Mishnah, that mechitza doesn't mean a wall, but rather mechitza means a division. It's not explicit, but it would seem to be that way. This is the only place in the Shnei Hebrew that I can find mechitza would mean a division. Every other place it pretty clearly means a wall. But okay. So the Gemara says, why not? So they don't want to say mechitza means a division because it should ratzu lachatzos. So now the Gemara says, elamai my guda. You're going to tell me it means a wall? Then why does the Mishnah say bonen esach kosel, bonen oso mi boile? In other words, if mechitza means kosel, and this is an oddity in the Mishnah, right? In other words, the Mishnah uses two different words for wall, four words apart or so. Right? Shufen shiratzu lasos mechitza, bonen esa kosel ve'emsa. Say bonen esa mechitza ve'emsa, or the Gemara says bonen oso ve'emsa. Why would you switch words? If in fact, that would suggest that mechitza and kosel are two different things. So the Gemara says, no. Itana oso, havamina b'mesipas ba'alma, kamash malan kosel. Now, Tosus explains this. Rashi has a very difficult explanation here. If you can figure out Rashi, I'd give you bonus points. I don't know if we're going to discuss this issue because it's really not central to any of the concepts of the sugya. But the simple way of reading the Gemara is that had not said bonen es ha kosel, then basically you would have said you could build a mesipas bamo. What does most Rishonim say mesipas? As Rashi says, a mesipas are just pegs on the floor to divide it up. But most Rishonim say mesipas is a wall, but it's got lots of windows, lots of holes, lots of lattice. You think about a lot of shuls, especially the top part of mechitza, may have sizable, you know, gaps or holes in them where you can easily look through. So had Mishnah just said, Ashut ben shematzu lasos mechitza b'chatzer, bonen oso ve'emza, and then it lists building materials, yeah, you have to build a wall, but it can have lots of holes in it, right? It's a wall that prevents one person from going to the other side, but it doesn't prevent people from seeing to the other side. So therefore, once two parties agree to build a kosel, so a kosel is not a mesipas. A kosel means a solid wall. Once we made a kinyan in a way that's binding to provide you, I'll say with privacy, then I can force you to build a wall, but not until then. So that's why the Mishnah said that I would have said, I only agreed to build a kosel, but maybe a mesipas should qualify as a kosel. The answer is kosel means kosel, not a mesipas. Okay, so now the Gemara says, continues, bonus a kosel ben sepshita. Is it obvious? The Gemara says, "Lo tsricha de kadem chaver ratze lechaver." You would have, in other words, once they agree, you build it in the middle. Of course, you build in the middle. We agree to build a wall to divide our chaseres. So I give half the building materials, you give half the building materials. I give half the ground, you give half the ground. So the Gemara says, "I would have thought the kadem in the case the kadem chaver ratze lechaver. I have to push you. I nudge you and nudge you and nudge you until you finally agree to build the wall." So now the tamer matzi amay like is vatzaylach vavira v'kashmish dolos vatzaylach kamash malan. You would have thought that one party could say, listen, I'm willing to let you build in the air and it blocks my view, with, you know, it's inconvenient one way. could to cut out space in my hut so that I can use. That I never agreed to. So you build the wall on your side. That once they build, they agree to build the wall, the default option is you build the wall in the middle. So now, right now, the Gemara is assuming that Hezek Riyah is not considered Hezek in a Chatzer. So the Gemara says, Toshma, Bechem Begina. Now, Tosus here comments that the Gemara knows the Maskana. The Maskana is that by a Gina, the default is that you force somebody to build a wall. Okay, that's the Gemara is going to talk about this on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, Gina and Bikra. The way we read the Mishnah, it sounded like Gina, default is you don't have to build a wall. Bikra, default is you do. The Gemara is going to say it's the exact opposite. So the Gemara asks, Akasha, Bechem Begina, the default is you can force the other party to build a wall. So don't you see that Hezek Riyah is considered Hezek? So the Gemara answers, Gina Shani Kid Rabbi Abba, Da'amar Rabbi Abba, Amra Puna Marat, Asa Ada Lama Vistecha Ber Mishashi Omedis Bekomosav. You're not allowed to stand looking at your friend's field when it's full of produce because of Ayin Hara, of Hezek Re'iyah. And note, by the way, so where the Gemara stands now, where is Hezek Re'iyah more likely to be a problem, in a Chatzar or in a Gina? In a Gina. Now, when you get to the Maskara of the Gemara, the second Lasha, which we pass to like the Hezek Riyah and Chatzar is considered Hezek, a number of the Rishonim, I think the Rashba talks about this, are going to point out that it's the exact opposite. That Hezek of Chatzar is actually considered a greater Hezek. And as I pointed out to already, they are fundamentally two different kinds of Hezek. But the part of the question that arises is, what happens if there's a Minhag? Not, in other words, what if there's a Minhag not to build a coastal Chatzar? Would in fact be a valid Minhag? Like by Gina, it's clear. By a Gina, it's clear. If the minhag is not to build walls in a Gina for the division, you don't have to do it. Because even when the Gemara is going to reverse the Mishnah and say that Stam Gina is like a Malkum Shenagu to divide, where if Modahagu, you don't have to build it. So if in a Gina, you're going to say you don't have to build it if that's the minhag, what about in the Chatzar? And I think we're going to say in the Chatzar, it doesn't matter if that's the minhag, you can still force the other party to build it. This Hezek Riyah is an overriding consideration. Whereas by a Gina, and by a Bikra Kal V'chomer, where the default does not even have to build it, there it depends upon the minhag. So just note that, as the flow of the Gemara right now, Hezek Riyah Begina seems to be worse and more of a problem than the Chatzar within this Lashon, but the Maskanas and Gemara, we're not actually going to hold that way. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Toshma, I'm sorry, the Gemara says, Ah, V'ha V'chein Katani. The Mishnah said, V'chein Begina. Whenever the Mishnah says V'chein, it means the two dinim are the same. You talk about Chatzar, Shurtun Shabbat Lashon Nechitza V'chatzar, then V'chein Begina, it should be the same thing. So the Gemara says that no, my bechem agvil agosis. It's only talking about how you're the building materials. In other words, that's when in a chatzer you have to agree to build. In a gina you don't have to agree to build. But once you either agree to build or you mechuyev to build, then the dinim of gosis gvil on tzon hakolkem in agvadim. Tashma, a mishnah later in the parak. Kol so chatzer shenafal. You had a wall in the chatzer divided up and it falls down. The chayvenos so livnos adalad amos. You force the other party to build, rebuild the wall. So what do you see? Hezek Riyah is considered Hezek because you can force him to build the wall. So the Gemara says, no, nafal shani. It's because it fell down is different. What does that mean? This is a very interesting machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, which I'm just going to tell you it now. I'm not going to elaborate on it now. But I think it's actually a very important machlokas. Rashi says, nafal shani, you have to rebuild it because you already agreed once to build the wall. And you could ask, okay, I agreed to build a wall once, right? But maybe not more than once. Tosfos says, no, because we had a wall in the chatzer, and I got used to using my chatzer for private things that I couldn't have done without the wall, now when the wall falls down, it really is Hezek Riyah. Right? Normally, if we say Hezek Riyah Lashma Hezek, it means I will choose not to use my chatzer for private things. But I've already become acclimated to using my chatzer for private things. Now that's Hezek Riyah. That's what Tosfos says. Okay, so now the Gemara says, the Karile, my Karile, what in God's name are you thinking? Bring your right for that Mishnah. So the Gemara says, no, Sefer Itzrichle, mi dalet amos ulamala, ein mechaydenosa. You would have thought that you have to rebuild the same wall over and over. So, one second now. So you would have thought that it's not limited, that, in other words, they bring in the Mishnah Zerai, you would have thought the Mishnah is La Dafka Nafal. So then why does the Mishnah tell you, Nafal, we force the guy to build the wall? No, because the Mishnah has to tell you the second half, that even when we force someone to rebuild the wall, you don't have to build the part that's above Dalet Amos, because that, there's never a consideration of any kind of essay. But you would have thought that below Dalet Amos, even if it wasn't the Nafal, you would have to build it. That's a Havamina of the Maksh. Okay, so then the Gemara says, Toshma, Kofanos of Livnos Beishar Videlas L'chatzer. We're going to have a Mishnah later in the parak. You can force people to build a door, and a sort of a guard booth that will block the view into the chatzer from the Rishus HaRabin, or from the people outside. And you need a beishar because sometimes the delis is open. Shemamina hezek riyash behezek. So the Gemara says no. Hezek the rabin shani. Everybody agrees that the public being able to see into your chatzer, that's considered besek. That's really an invasion of privacy, but not necessarily other b'nei chatzer. So then the Gemara says, "Udi yachid lo." You're telling me hezek of yachid is not tashma. In hokin es hachatzer at sheheba dal ramos lezed, the dal ramos lezed. This is the mishnah later that I mentioned earlier in shir, which is you only can force your partner to divide the chatzer when there's enough space. Dal ramos for each. The Gemara will talk about what is dal ramos. What does that mean, dal ramos? So the Gemara said, "So ha yeshba kidei lezedik lezed hokin." So the Mishnah implies, and this is correct, this part of the Gemara's view stands, it's obvious. If the chatzer is big enough, you can force the other party to divide. And now the Gemara adds on its own, my law of the kosel. I won't really divide. The Gemara says, no, the resipas na'ama. Maybe you just need a resipas. You don't need a kosel necessarily. Then the Gemara says, Toshma, in chok, hachalonos. This is a Mishnah, I believe. This Mishnah is at the end of Cheska Sabbat. Hachalonos bein lemala bein lemata. It's not there, but it's discussed, I think. I think there's something related to the Chesed Levatim. Halonos bein l'mala bein l'mata, bein mi kenegdan dal ramos. If somebody has a window in their house, and you want to build a wall near that window, you have to make sure about three things. The height of the wall either has to be very below the window, or it has to be very high above the window, and, I would say, it has to be a distance away from the window. Now, the distance away is so as to not block the light. The above and below, obviously, is so you can't be standing on top of your wall. This might not be a 6-inch wide wall. This might be a real wall, like a city wall, Yerushalayim. You can't build that wall because if it's too level with the window, you're going to be peeping in. So it says, "Rikani Allah, Mimalan Kadesh Lo Yatzitz V'Yira, Mimatan Kadesh Lo Yama V'Yira, and Mikaynegdan Kadesh Lo Yafil." So you see, Hezek Riyas, considered Hezek. The Gemara says, no, Hezek is the Bayishani, as Rashi explains. In your house, that's where you do private things, right? It has to be a place where you can have privacy. So of course, Hezek Riyas, by looking into your house, is a Hezek Riyas. Toshma, the Amar of Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Gag HaSamuch L'chatzer, Chavero, Osa L'Make Gavoa Dalat Amos. If I have a roof that people can walk on. It's not a slanty roof. I have a roof in my house that there's access to one I can walk on. And your chatzer, my roof overlooks your chatzer, right at the edge. Your chatzer is down. So I have to build a makah of dalet amos. I obviously have to build a makah of ten tefachim because that's a pasuk in the Torah, right? If you can use the roof and you can fall off the roof, you have to build a fence. But the Mishnah says that you have to build, Renachman says you have to build a makah of dalet amos, obviously because of hezek riya, because for makah you only need 10 tefachim. So the Gemara says, "Of shani hasan to amar lebal chatzel lebal gad, lididik liya letashmishti, lididach lefiya letashmishta, or leyadana behei idona salikas, the osis it's damina." No, when we have two chatzeres next to one another, they're on same eye level, so I can see when you walk out of your house into the chatzer, and I know not to be doing things there. I can be sensitive to your movements. And no one, I need to make sure I have privacy. But if you're on a gag, I can't see you easily, and it's not like you use the gag regularly. If you don't use the gag regularly, only occasionally there, I'm going to do stuff that's sitting on the hot air, but I never know when you're actually up on the gag. Yeah?
It's also a great riot for what we had said earlier for why you would have to force out a person to rebuild walls, because they got used to being able to do private things in their hot air.
For tosuses, right. That would fit nicely with tosus. I think even the second part of the kari and the maikari, if you think about it, also fits better with tosus. Okay, so that's what the Gemara concludes the first lashon, and now it's going to move on to the Lishna Acharina, which I'll pick up with on Sunday. I'm going to stop here and do what I call Parsha. Josh, if you could stop that and
start again.